A few weeks ago, well, probably about a month and a half ago, I got this article forwarded on my desk about how the military is trying to somehow genetically engineer soldiers to have night vision built into their eyes. And I was like, what are you talking about? So I started digging a little bit deeper into this and, you know, went to Google and Yahoo, and I found somebody who's absolutely fascinating, and we're having him on the show today. His name is Tom Horn. He's behind the Raiders News Network. Go to RaidersNewsUpdate.com. Absolutely fascinating stuff. I'm going to warn you right now, some of the things we're about to talk about are so freaky and scary that you're going to wish it's not true, but unfortunately, my friends, it is. Tom, welcome to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, Josh. Great to be on with you.
Great to have you. Now, we're going to talk about something called transhumanism. So let's basically start there, because when I was talking about having you on the show, most people didn't know what that is. What is transhumanism?
Yeah, well, it's something most people are going to know as we move into the very near future. But transhumanism is simply the term that is given to describe a growing segment of our population, and this includes everything, by the way, from old hippies and geeks all the way up to members of the military, as you opened the show by referring to, or this segment by referring to, who believe that we now have it within our power to use emerging fields of technology, especially those areas of new science and technology that are related to the genetics revolution, that we're going to use these to change mankind, to take us into the next step in our evolution. We're going to literally rewrite our genetic construct. And for those that might think that, you know, this is a segment from Hard to Believe magazine, I mean, this year's DARPA budget, the 2011 presidentially approved DARPA budget, has millions of dollars in it for editing our soldiers' DNA. It has millions of dollars in it for creating what's called biodesign, which is a new synthetic form of life, a militarized new form of life. In fact, they're so concerned about it that they want some kind of a genetic off switch put in it in case it escapes and turns on us. So things are changing very rapidly, and the bottom line is what we've done with genetically modified plants, what we've done with genetically modified and transgenic animals, the next step is humans. We are going to begin altering what it means to be a species in the next step in our evolution according to this scheme.
Well, isn't there some sort of truth behind the fact when it comes to science, you can never put the genie back in the bottle? Because initially when I thought of this, I'm thinking, well, we'll just create some sort of legislation that says, you know, no messing with human DNA. But regardless of what we do, we're going to see this come to pass, aren't we?
Yeah, that's true, because the science exists. In fact, by the way, what you have proposed has been proposed before, even by some members of the transhumanist community that think this could be an existential risk, that this genie is going to get so far out of the bottle that it could literally lead to an extinction-level event, because we would be and are changing living biological organisms, plants, animals, humans, and, of course, bioweapons technology. Hillary Clinton this week talking about a new bioweapon that could grow out of the new gene sciences, that this could be a Pandora's box, a biological nightmare that could lead to an extinction level event. It could wipe out humanity. Professor Francis Fukuyama, for instance, from Stanford University, saying that this is the most dangerous science in the history of mankind, that could literally lead to the end of the world as we know it. But the problem is, the science exists. And there have been efforts inside the United Nations. There have been conversations inside of our own military think tanks here in the United States about, you know, could we all come together as a peace-loving world and put a voluntary moratorium on this science? But what our military think tanks understand, the Brookings Institute is talking about this, the Jasons are talking about this. What they all understand is, even if you came together in the United Nations and came up with some agreement that we're all going to restrict the development of this technology, not everybody would follow the rules. In fact, most of them, the most powerful countries, would clandestinely develop the science anyway, just in case somebody else is doing it and try to use it to subjugate us on the battlefield. We've got to be ahead of this technology. That's what the Jasons are telling the Defense Department. It's what they're telling the Pentagon. That reference that you made a moment ago might have been to an article called The $100 Genome, Implications for the Department of Defense, or one of the other ones, by the way, that have come out recently from the Jasons, saying that this is the next arms race, and it's coming much faster than most people are prepared for. In fact, the Jasons have advised the United States Department of Defense that they now have less than 1 year, and what's almost esoteric in their warning is that they've said they have no longer than December of 2012. I don't know if they got that from the Mayans or what, but after which all bets are off. We have to get ahead of this technology now. We have to develop it now, or our potential enemies are going to. Now, I'd love to know what the Jasons know that we don't know about the advances in this technology. But all anybody listening to this show has to do is just look at the world that you're living in now. Look at genetically modified crops. This is already out of the bottle. And we're already, by the way, altering humans, too, at least at the embryonic level. In Britain, in the last year, there have been two babies that were born, the genetic offspring of three parents. What they call designer children is already a reality. Gene manipulation at the embryonic level so that you can sex select and eye select and things like that of humans. But if we're seeing this just in, you know, today's Wall Street Journal or whatever, imagine how far the military is advanced in this regard, because they tend to run decades, 20, 30 years ahead of what the public knows. And if we have time during this broadcast, we can actually talk about what the Academy of Medical Sciences in Britain just published in their admission of how many tens of thousands of fully grown human animal chimeras are already in existence in laboratories around the world.
What? Okay. Okay. Honestly, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around what you just said. Not because it was advanced, because my mind just wants to say no. There's no way that we're doing this. I want to believe that we were smart enough not to get this genie out of the bottle. What are we looking at? What are they doing? Okay, you talked a little bit about selecting eye color and selecting sex, and that should be an indicator, folks, that if it's that easy for your local doctor to do this, what are they doing in some lab in Nevada? What are we looking at? Because I read an article that kind of referenced what you were talking about, how in Britain there's 150 animal/human hybrids. What are they trying to accomplish here? Give us some examples of what they're trying to do with this technology.
Yeah, well, that article that you're referring to, that was a Mail Online article. It came out actually one day after the Academy of Medical Sciences in Britain admitted that human-animal chimera research is advancing so quickly that an international regulatory commission is needed now to oversee the creation. Now, they're talking about mature human-animal chimeras. We're not talking any longer about human-animal chimeras at the embryonic level. Most people are fairly familiar with that, stem cell sciences. The pharmaceutical industry has been funding research into human-animal chimeras, and I don't want to get the show bogged down in explaining why. It has to do with the fact that it's difficult.
Hold on one second. Tom, hold on one second. We're up against a break. You're not going to want to go anywhere, folks. Stay where you're at. You're listening to The Josh Tully Show on the GCN Radio Network.
Want to be the smartest person you know? Then keep listening. This is The Josh Tully Show on GCN Radio Network.
You know, we are going to talk about politics, to talk about the National Association of Realtors fudging the numbers on house sales and all the regular things we talk about. And no, you did not tune into the wrong channel and somehow get Art Bell. No, this is real. I mean, this is freaky stuff. I've been looking into it now for 4 or 5 days in a row, been staying up until 2 o'clock in the morning. This is crazy. Tom Horn is joining us. Tom, before the break, we started getting into what are they doing, and you left off at a place that kind of made my hair stand up on end. You were talking about already developed adult versions of whatever this is that they're creating. I don't even know if we call it a human, but whatever this is that they made, are you saying there's actually adult versions of this?
Yeah, well, the reference that you had made actually to, and these are all things that people can Google, the Mail Online article, 150 human-animal hybrids grown in UK labs. And by the way, that is just a drop in the bucket. There are literally tens of thousands of laboratories around the world, here in the United States, in Britain, in Austria, in China, all conducting the same kind of research. And what the public has been led to believe in the past is that this only, you know, that these were just embryos. And why would you create an embryo that's part human, part animal? It's been driven by the pharmaceutical industry that uses human-animal chimeras to get around the difficulties for getting permission to do experiments on humans, which is a daunting task. But if you create a human-animal embryo, now you can test drug therapies on that human-animal embryo and see if the human enzymes or the human genetics in that construct are reacting in the way that you want it to. So it accelerates pharmaceutical industry, which is, you know, giant monster corporations around the world that stand to make literally billions, if not trillions of dollars in the future for new drug therapy. So that's what's been driving much of this technology. But if, and here's something for people to Google. Go and Google this headline: scientists want debate on animals with human genes. And they will find a Reuters, so this is not Weekly World News, right? Reuters news article, and the opening paragraph will say, a mouse that can speak, a monkey with Down syndrome, dogs with human hands and feet. British scientists want to know if such experiments are acceptable or if they go too far in the name of medical research. There's a long backstory behind this, so we don't have time to detail on this program, but the bottom line is these were scientists that had made application in Britain to receive public funds, tax dollars, for doing research at the embryonic level. Well, they were back. In this headline, they were back let's say 1.5 years ago now. I forget what the date on this headline was. And they wanted to know if the public would now be willing to let them go to the next step, Josh, to start developing islands of Dr. Moreau, where they could raise these human-animal chimeras to full maturity to do long-term research for the pharmaceutical industry, but also military aspects. And they hinted in the article that they were already doing it anyway. Well, fast forward now to just July of this year, and the Academy of Medical Sciences in Britain admitted that the science not only is advancing so quickly, but that literally thousands of these things have been created and are being studied. And it was a day after they published their report called Animals Containing Human Material that the Mail Online admitted to the one, I think it was actually two, laboratories in Britain that had created these 150 human-animal hybrids. But if somebody wants to email me, I will send them. I have the 200-page Academy of Medical Sciences report so they could verify this for themselves. And what do they talk about in this report? Number one, extensive modification of the brains of animals by implantation of human-derived cells, I'm quoting now, which might result in altered cognitive capacity approaching human consciousness or sentience or human-like behavioral capabilities. This is in the summary of the report. Secondly, get this, Josh, quote, situations where functional human gametes, we're talking now about eggs, sperm, might, quote, might develop from precursor cell types in an animal, and where fertilization between human and animal gametes might then occur. We're literally talking about the capacity for cross-species creation. And then finally, cellular or genetic modifications that could result in animals with aspects of human-like appearance, skin type, limb and facial structure, characteristics such as speech, end quote. So, the genie is way out of the bottle, and this is really just one tiny aspect of what is going on inside of this kind of research. Look at the MIT MTech conference 3 weeks ago that says, get ready for a new human species. Go right now to the Foreign Policy magazine, the Washington, D.C.-based award-winning magazine on global politics, economics, the kind of stuff you talk about, and look at their current article over there called The Future Is Now, in which they're talking about, in the very near future, the emergence of a new form of human species. So what can I say? The technology's here. Now then you have to start imagining how quickly is this going to unfold? How quickly are we going to start doing to humans what we already are doing to plants and animals? And then what the social, maybe also spiritual, implications of that might be.
You know, a few things come to mind here. One of them is X-Men, because this sounds very much like the X-Men movies. The other one is Planet of the Apes, where the apes get the ability to communicate and strategize together. And then the third one is kind of like Narnia, where you have that little goat boy, where he's like half human, half goat. And my mind is still telling me, even though I've been reading into this for 4 or 5 days now, my mind is still telling me, no way, this has to be fake. It has to be April 1st. But this is actually posing a threat to humanity. Are these new creatures, do we call them humans, Tom? Are these new creatures, do they have the same rights as humans? I mean, can scientists execute them? I mean, do they have Miranda rights? I mean, what other implications does this have?
You're asking all the right questions, Josh, and so are other ethicists and bioethicists around the world. For instance, Jewish bioethicists right now are saying if a person is part cow and part human, how much of them would need to be cow before we could offer them as a burnt sacrifice. By the way, in Britain, when the embryology discussions were going on, which is kind of the backstory to that headline, I said people should Google scientists want debate on animals with human genes, and then they should go and look at the, or email me and I'll send them the Academy of Medical Science 200-page report. I lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
You were talking about how the cow-human mix.
Oh, yeah. This discussion is going on around the world. It isn't just Britain. The United States, by the way, published its own report. There's a report called Splicing Life. It's a 20-year-old report, and it's a U.S. report. It was done by the president of the United States commissioned it, that said that within 20 years, a la today, that this science would begin producing a new form of humanity. There's another 500-page report from the U.S. From the United States. That was called Converging Technologies. Same thing, that sometime around the year 2012, a new form of humanity would begin to emerge. And your question was, my train of thought, I apologize, just came back to me, you know, what kind of threat might this pose? There is a report that came out 12 months ago. It's called Global Governance 2025 at a Critical Juncture. Why is this important? Because it was published by the United States Office of the Director of National Intelligence, working with the European Institute of Security Studies. And what this report is about is what might be the trigger that would set in motion the sudden need for a world government, a global government. What could cause all of the, what threat could suddenly cause all of the governments of the world to suddenly need to come together under one umbrella in mutual defense of a potentially catastrophic threat? And if you get this Global Governance 2025 that was published by the highest levels of intelligence in the United States and Europe, read page 35, where it starts talking about the emergence of a new form of humanity as a result of biotechnology. And you'll find that that what the Jasons and these other departments are saying...
Hold on one second, Tom.
Josh,
yet again, we blew through another segment and we're up against a break. We'll be back right after this. We'll see if we can talk them into staying for one more segment. Don't go anywhere. What if the old legends of the past, of mermaids, of Pegasus, of men who were part horse, part guide, there's a name for them, I don't know what it is, but what if all of that wasn't folklore, but rather a look into the future? Maybe they were telling us what was about to happen, because that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about mice that can talk. Think of the implications of that. Honestly, think about it. If we had a mouse that could talk, what a great spy. And I don't know if it's even feasible. All I know is that this topic is something that is just beyond what I thought was even possible. So, Tom, let's pick up where you left off, talking about the implications of what these people are developing.
Yeah, well, again, by the way, and I would like to make available to people free of charge, if they want to email me at RaidersNewsUpdate@gmail.com and ask for the Strategic Perspectives Intel DVD, we will send that to them. It's got two movies on it. It's got dozens of documents, and these are all government documents. None of this is tabloid, right, Weekly World News, so sure, that they can see how their tax dollars are being used right now to actually establish the guidelines that are going to be used for, first of all, setting the policy with regard to how the U.S. Constitution is going to have to be amended in order to extend constitutional privileges and responsibilities to human non-humans. By the way, the Brookings Institute, this is the number one policy think tank in the world. It's the number one policy think tank for the United States government. Go to the Brookings Institute right now and look up what is called the Future of the Constitution series. You'll probably find it right on the front page. It's their major series that's going on right now to write the legalese for how the law will need to be amended in the future. Read Articles number 9 and Articles number 10 talking about new forms of genetically engineered humans on the near horizon.
What?
Now, catch what I just said. The Brookings Institute, the number one policy think tank in the world, talking about how the U.S. Constitution is going to have to be amended in order to extend Bill of Rights privileges to human non-humans. These are humans who have been sufficiently genetically altered as to no longer even be considered to be human on the very near horizon. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the Global Governance 2025 at a critical juncture. These are all reports that if people will email me, I'll send them the actual report. Some of these are only 200 pages long. Some are 500 pages long. There's two different movies. I'll send them that DVD free at my expense. There's no advertising on it, so it's not a gimmick, and I'll make that available to them. In the Global Governance 2025 on page 35, it says direct modification of DNA at fertilization is widely researched with a goal of removing defective genes. By the way, I'd love to have a conversation about eugenics right there, but we'll go on. Quote, however, discussions of future capabilities open the possibility for designing humans with unique physical, emotional, or cognitive abilities, end quote. They are talking about a new form of human on the near horizon that could literally lead to the next world war and the need for all of the governments of the world to come together in mutual defense against this existential threat. Well, Josh, in designing humans with unique physical, emotional, and cognitive abilities, I believe that we're witnessing now. So it represents a threat. And so your audience knows, I was a pastor for 25 years. I have an interest in eschatology, end time events, biblical things.
Right.
So they can accept or reject that part of who I am. But I believe that we're seeing the unfolding here of biblical prophecy. But even if a person doesn't accept that, if it doesn't fit in their worldview, if they just think, okay, that's lunacy, no such thing, they would have to admit that what we are doing now with genetically modified crops, genetically modified animals, and genetically modified humans is not something that neither creation, if that's your worldview, nor evolution, if that's your worldview, Darwinian evolution did not provide for what we are doing now. We are altering things in ways that are entirely unnatural. And as a result, I think that we could, first of all, number one, what is the ramification to humans? First of all, we could unleash upon ourselves a biological nightmare. If your listeners have saw the movie I Am Legend with Will Smith, that film opens with a bioethicist or a molecular biologist, and she's sitting in a newsroom somewhere, and she's saying, we have found the cure to cancer. But how did they find the cure to cancer? It was through creating a chimeric vaccine, a vaccine that was a blend of human and animal genetics, because some animals are more resilient to cancer than humans are. They created a vaccine that would inoculate mankind from cancer. And so all the world is inoculated with this new vaccine, and it cures cancer, and everybody celebrates, and all the world's happy. Then the scene changes, right? And it goes into the not-too-distant future, and almost all of mankind has been destroyed. What was the unintended consequence? It was by crossing over a species barrier that neither God nor evolution, depending on your worldview, had provided for, a human form of rabies developed, something that's not natural to our species because we blended human and animal genetics, and it wipes out almost all of mankind. So there are all kinds of possibilities that should concern taxpayers right now who are providing tax revenue that is flowing into these DARPA budgets that is being used right now to describe the legalese, the language, for what. And by the way, one last thing, Josh. Most of these experts are saying any time after the year 2012. So how near is the human enhancement revolution? Most believe that any time after the year 2012, the first baby steps will be taken in doing to humans what we're doing to plants and animals, and then the exponential curve is going to singularity this event, and in a very rapid, short period of time, a new form of humanity will begin emerging upon the earth.
Well, and like you were just saying, we're actually 10, 20, 30 years ahead of what they're actually telling us they are. And we have about 2 minutes left with you. We see it in the DARPA budget, so this isn't necessarily just, okay, research to find a cure for cancer, which you pointed out could lead to the end of the world anyway. Why would the military be interested in something like this?
Well,
that,
you know,
scares me.
Academic, 2 minutes left, right? Academic scientists, yep, technical consultants to the Pentagon have been providing a whole series of reports in which they're saying that the United States in particular is going to be forced into large-scale species-altering output, including human enhancement for military purposes, because our enemies are already, or potential enemies, are already developing this technology. Now, that's what the Jasons are saying to the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, to the Pentagon, to the Department of Defense. What do they know that we don't know? Why would the Academy of Medical Sciences out of Britain now say that thousands of these things have been created, and what is the military aspect around this splice-like technology? Well, once again, if people want to email me, I'll send them all the government reports. We'll do the best we can. I have 10 employees. We'll do the best we can to try to follow up with any questions that they send us around this technology, but at least be advised that we're not talking about tabloid sensationalism. This is not hype. It's very real. It's coming very quickly. And just look at the world as you know it and see what's happening with GM crops, see what's happening with GM animals, see what's happening with genetically modified humans, at least at the embryonic level, and you can see the near future of humanity. But once you read it in the government reports for yourself and see it in line item, budget items that you're paying for, you have to stop and you know, kind of catch your breath around this issue and imagine what all the full ramifications of this science is portending.
Well, Tom Horn, RaidersNewsUpdate.com, thank you so much for joining us today. We will have you back on. We could talk to you for days, it seems like. Folks, email him. Get this update today. And I'm telling you, when we thought about bringing this up, I knew that it would, like, oh, Josh, you're talking about Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster. No, this is real, and we have to address it now. Because, Tom, isn't it true that this could be the greatest threat to humanity?
Yeah, well, on the one hand, some people are saying it's actually going to solve our economic issues. The human enhancement revolution could give dawn to the next, revolution in industry. Who doesn't want to be, improved, right? So, but then even among transhumanists, like Hugo de Garris and others talking about the Artelect War, there is a dark side to what we are talking about today.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We will have you back on, and I hope you have a great, blessed day, because you just scared the bejeebies out of me. We'll be back right after this.